Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and I have a special guest, which you already know. And go ahead, say hello.
How's it going, everyone? This is Michael, and I hope everybody had a good Christmas and Happy New Year.
Dude, you know, Christmas didn't feel that bad to me this year. I think because the mail volume's down. I mean, it's always down around Christmas. But dude, there was a day where I had literally five flats for my entire route.
I think it's because companies don't use catalogs anymore.
Oh, dude. Right. I remember when I first started, like, it was catalog obnoxious. Season. Yeah, catalog was season obnoxious. Was starting like October.
Right.
And yeah, it was wild, dude. You just get stacks and stacks. And then the big ones like the Sears and the JCPenney. Dude.
I think companies are using more of the internet and and not the paper anymore.
Right. You see very few catalogs, very few magazines anymore.
But did you notice that we didn't get Amazon Christmas catalog? This year?
I didn't. The one that had all the toys in it for the kids? I did not see that this year. Yeah, that's true. I do kind of enjoy seeing that. Yeah.
So I'm surprised on that.
They're handling their own marketing, I would guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here, like the Amazon strike, I guess it was fairly limited in its geography. And so we didn't really get affected by it. And our Amazon burden wasn't that bad this Christmas. I mean, I had a few days where I would approach 100 parcels, which for me is a ton. But like your route, you got a cupcake route too.
Oh yeah, I got a medical aid route.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it. All right. Well, anyway, that's not what we're here to discuss. You got me sidetracked already.
All right. It's okay. A New Year's thing.
It's pleasant. Right. Okay. So what?
Except for we didn't have one Christmas party though.
No, we did not have a Christmas party in our ranch. We had one at our station. Yeah. Did you have one at your station?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. So there's that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the Reno had a Christmas party where Mickey Grizzle was invited to.
The president. Yeah. That's cool.
You know, and he had that picture of all the Christmas party on the back of the newsletter.
Oh, nice.
But there's nothing of 2502 where we're the bigger branch.
No.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure we're bigger than the entire rest of the state combined.
Mm-hmm.
And
no Christmas party.
And no newsletter.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we've talked about a little bit.
Oh, did you know that the newsletter, we really pay for the newsletter and not everybody else?
I'm not surprised.
You know, so technically that would be our newsletter. But you know.
Dude, that's an interesting point. All right, so let's get into what we're actually here to talk about.
Yep.
Which is the podcast. It's kind of a meta episode because the main thing that I want to talk about is I know this podcast has good reach. Like I know from my download numbers, you know, a while ago I eclipsed 100,000 downloads and now like I'm over 120,000 downloads. It keeps growing. It keeps doing well. And I know I reach more people than say the president of our local union. Even within Las Vegas, I reach more people. But what does that really mean? Because look at who comes to our branch meeting. How many members are in our branch total, including retirees? Like anybody who could come to the meeting.
It shows that we have 1,999.
Okay, that's a lot. We'll call it 2,000 for round numbers. And a really well-attended union meeting will have like 60 people show up. You might get 80 if it's, you know, something major, but that's it. And so 80 people, even if it was 100 people, that would only represent 5% of the branch. And these are the people who are the most active, the people who are the most interested, the people who are going to make waves or who have strong opinions or whatever. What about the other 95% of the branch?
Majority of them are working overtime.
Yeah, that's definitely a consideration. And they don't, it's not just that. I think the majority of them don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, that they, and dude, I was that way for most of my career too. I just go to work, put the mail in a box, and go home. And I don't care about what's going on at the hall.
That's because our union has gotten to a point where they made it very boring for everybody. There's no excitement anymore.
They did. I really took note of that when I recently started going to meetings again in earnest, like within the last year or two, that, oh my God, it's so boring. There's no dynamicism. There's no rah-rah. There's no leadership. It is boring. Yeah, that is absolutely true.
If you ever
go
to some other union meetings, you'll see people cheering. It's like, yeah, we're going after this and we're doing that. We don't have any of that.
No, there's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe there should be a change in union leadership at our branch. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. That's for the voters to decide in our rerun election, which we have our meeting. So we're recording this on January 8th, 2024. Tomorrow
25.
Is...
25.
2025. Thank you. Yes. Tomorrow is Jimmy Carter's day of mourning. And so the post office closed, but that's when our union meeting is. And this is also when our appeal is going to be heard on the running of our election. And so tomorrow is going to be a very exciting day. And in addition to that, you know, there's now like controversy when we go to these meetings and there's people asking tough questions and it's great to see. But again, it's still only this very small minority of the branch.
So I was talking to one of the carriers today, and because of all the things that our branch officer has been doing, and they've been getting caught doing and not doing their job, I think they are waking up the sleeping giant, because we're a big branch. And I think they're waking up the sleeping giant because the people are starting to realize how messed up things are.
Yeah, the potential for activism is really present within our branch. Somebody just has to activate them and get them moving. And then, yeah, we have the potential to have a lot of influence and to really wield power. And right now we're just not doing it. And, you know, like every branch, it's required in the Constitution that they have an organizing committee. And this is what gets people going and gets them motivated. And if you want to have a picket or anything like that. And so I asked our branch president, hey, who is on our mandatory, required in the Constitution organizing committee? He didn't even respond. I think we don't have one, actually, though it's required.
Hell, you know, we were supposed to have an entertainment committee, and they failed because we didn't even have a Christmas
party. Exactly. Party. So
what do we even got?
We're also supposed to have bylaws. You know that story, that they haven't been printed in like 8 years, probably. Right. So
and not updated either.
And not updated. All right. Oh, and in that same email, I asked him about, hey, can I get a copy of the bylaws? But of course, there isn't one. So getting back to my topic, even though it seems like there's this activism, there's these people that are motivated, it still represents this really tiny portion of the branch. And so I wonder that about this podcast, even with the reaction that it gets, with the people who email me, is it really a movement? Are there really a lot of people who feel this way? Or is it just this tiny vocal minority? And I really don't know how to tell. One of the ways that we're going to tell on the national level is when the vote comes in for our tentative agreement. Because if you listen to any podcast, or except for You Are the Current Resident, or if you go on to social media, everybody's posting against the contract. It seems like there's this big grassroots movement. But again, those people only represent a tiny minority of who's in the union.
Just quickly on the tentative agreement, you know, there's a people that's voting yes because they're scared the post office will close because we're losing money. But we got to remember, we used to lose like $8 billion a year when we had pre-funding. They got rid of pre-funding. And then we're still losing $7 billion a year.
Yeah,
how does
wild.
That work?
It's a great question.
And to me, that seems to me is that post office using the leverage of being in the negative to get what they want. Okay, and then they've been doing that for years. And then now they're using that for our contract to not pay us. But you got to remember, they gave the raise to management. They're giving the the raise to the clerks.
Yeah.
The clerks' starting salary is going to be $26 an hour.
Right. And our CCAs are still coming
in. It's still $20 an hour. Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense. Why are we not getting paid? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because our tenant agreement sucks balls.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. So again, so we're going to have a chance to see like how strong is this grassroots movement where we have it right now. You know, that was a wake-up call for me when the votes came in for the election. Now, obviously our election was tainted in our branch, but I didn't get nearly the votes that I thought that I would get. And how do you reach the rest of the branch? You know, and this is part of the problem is I've got this podcast, it gets traction, it gets reaction, it gets noticed, but how many people is it really reaching? And on the other side of that, you have, I'm going to skip down to this topic here, you have the union newsletter, which goes to the house of every person in the branch. You know, whether they read it is another story, but this is like a bully pulpit for the people who are in charge. And because they have this bully pulpit, because they have the means to post their ideas in the break rooms all around the city and to go into the stations and talk to people, the incumbents, the people, in our case, the good old boys, have these inherent advantages over every other member, over people like myself who are reform-minded. And because the good old boys have this stranglehold on information, this is why the Department of Labor has laws that allow for free speech at union meetings and in break rooms and online and in other forums where you can say what you want to say. Yeah, and yeah,
including the podcast.
Including here or, on this podcast. Spotify. Yeah, that is exactly right. Yeah, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why this kind of speech is protected. Because in my mind, we're speaking truth to power. And we're saying, you know, these things are wrong. These things need to be addressed. And if this voice weren't here, who would be saying it? Maybe somebody who shows up to the union meeting, like... Like, well, there's one guy who always votes no. You know who I'm thinking of, the crotchety old guy. And like, that's it. That's the lone voice, you know? And how effective is that compared to the people who are able to write in the branch newsletter every month, who send it out to everybody's house?
Unfortunately, that old guy is in the hospital right now.
Oh, dude, I didn't know that. That sucks.
So hopefully he gets well soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's a necessary voice in our union. Yeah, no doubt. So that's... You know, that's what I keeps me up at night in a way, that how much effect are we really having? Are we really able to affect positive change? Are we really, you know, going to make this grassroots movement? And I can tell you that it's definitely having some effect, at least on our local union leadership, because they started writing about us in the union newsletter. And so I'm going to pull out... it's kind of buried in here. Let me get this.
Well, we talked about how Mickey Drizzle said that
the state president.
The state president on the previous one where he said that we're giving misinformation. Right. I think that's the one you're going to read about?
No. This is the most recent one.
Okay. So he was talking about how we're giving out misinformation and so forth, which to me, he never listed anything that we did the podcast on, because all we said is, some of them are our opinions and speculations,
right?
But we try to give out as much honest opinion as much as possible,
right? As much factual information, as much sourced information as we can, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've been noticing is that when these disparaging remarks are made about, oh, don't listen to podcasts, it's all bullshit, they don't actually point out anything that we've said that's inaccurate. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, one thing we said that appears to have been inaccurate, and that was that we accused our election chair of going rogue and buying the ballots for our election without branch approval. And based on an invoice that was handed out at the last meeting, it looks like we were wrong, that it wasn't the election chair. It looks like it was our union president.
Yeah, But again, election chair messed up.
He's not supposed to even allow that to happen. And of course, the whole election board was never convened. And so all of this was done without oversight. And that's the problem.
Right.
Yeah, of course. So consider that the record corrected. So we got that. But all right. So I'll read you from this article on the front page of the Nevada Letter Carrier. He writes... One of my New Year wishes is we work united as one unit for the betterment of letter carriers. It's funny, it used to be any problems within the craft we were debating, but we would keep them within the craft. I'm not opposed to podcasts and people speaking out and saying what they believe, but sometimes it goes too far. Remember, some of those items are open to the public. As letter carriers, we've maintained a trusted relationship with the public for years, and that information helps us when we need support in legislation. Also keep in mind that there are managers that can use information against you. So, essentially...
There is nothing that we've said that management can use against us.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not. That was a line that came out of the convention in Boston, where we had this internal strife, and they're like, oh, don't let management know. Like, A, they already know. And B, it's got nothing to do with contract enforcement. You know, this is our own bylaw enforcement. And that's what,
and Constitution.
And Constitution, yeah. And that's what galls me about statements like that, is what would he have the alternative be? That if I see, you know, I bet you, now I have not done this, but I bet you if I were to sit down with the state president and ask him, what would he have me do? I bet he'd say, why don't you just go to the branch president and tell him your concerns? I've done that.
We've all done that.
Yeah, we've all done that. And for my trouble, I got fired from the Carrier Academy for pointing out, like, hey, you're supposed to be doing this stuff. Did not go well. So now what am I supposed to do? If there's problems with the branch and I want to speak out about them, what would he have me do? Shut the fuck up? Keep it to myself? How are we supposed to fix stuff
well,
that
way? Well, that's what they want.
That is exactly what they want. You are 100% correct. That is absolutely what the good old boys want us to do. And they
don't want us to talk about all their misdoings, mm-hmm. and talk about what they're not doing right. And here's the thing, mm-hmm. because we are the members, we have the right to talk about our leadership, where they're doing good and where they're failing.
Yeah.
And right now at our branch, majority of it is them failing.
Right.
And that is the reason why we're speaking out. That mm-hmm. is the reason why we're doing what we're doing. That is the reason why we're taking our extra time from work to actually speak out so that everybody can hear what's going on.
Right.
You know, time is precious. And I believe this is very important to let everybody know what is going on, because I believe that our branch is not going great.
Yeah, I agree. And this is not how I want to be spending my time. I would much rather, if I was going to record classes in mail today, I'd rather be doing more of the Carrier Academy or reading M documents or something like that instead of dealing with this bullshit that's happening. So let me read a little more from that same article in the newsletter. Speaking of elections, he writes, I hope the results for Branch 2502 have come in. I understand there was a few concerns and problems. Remember, fix it and move on. It's for the good of the members. Postal managers are watching every move. So again, fix it and move on. And as far as accountability goes for the people who fucked it up intentionally, don't worry about it. Just let it go. Yeah, I'm sure that's what the good old boys would prefer, since they're the ones who did it.
Well, does that mean our state president condones what happened?
It's a great question. Because you'd like to think that he would weigh in mm-hmm. and be like, hey, man, you guys really need to follow the bylaws and right. follow the election rules.
Follow the Constitution.
Yeah. And I haven't seen any of that. No. Instead, he's saying, shut up about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say anything about it.
Right.
Yeah. It's the abusive person who mm-hmm. tells you, you better not say anything.
I don't know. Maybe our branch president learned this from state president. I don't know.
Dude. I mean, that's the problem, right? It's all the way through.
We got so many things going wrong for so many years that I believe that everybody's been doing the same thing for so many years by misdoing the election.
Yeah.
And they thought they can get away with it even this time.
Right. And the issue is, and we've talked about it on here before, that I think before this election, nobody was actually reading these rules. Mm-hmm. And now that we know the rules, what a mess it is. And how many times have we heard during these meetings, that's the way we've always done it? And they don't realize, standing up there and saying it, like our branch secretary has said that so many times and to conversations with us, and like doesn't, at what point is he going to realize that he's indicting himself by saying that? That, dude, I've got the rule right here. Dude, I had a conversation. I will tell you about it on another episode, which I have written, but I have not recorded. I had a conversation with this guy where I read the rule to him from the Constitution. And his answer was, well, that's not the way we do it. And like, yeah, dude, that's the fucking problem. So
are we being
right, are we being disingenuous? Are we being misleading?
Or misleading or being no integrity?
Right. Dude, come on. And, you know, this takes me back to a conversation mm-hmm. that I had with that same branch secretary when he wanted us to drop our charges against the election chair. And he asked what I wanted. And the answer was really simple. I want the branch to follow the bylaws. And that's the truth. I don't want to be doing this shit. Like, dude, just read the bylaws and be like, oh, I guess I should do those things. And 90% of these problems go away. And same with the election. Like, before the next election starts, if you just crack open that book and glance through it. Yeah.
bylaws and our NALC constitution.
Right, and the constitution.
Our NALC election rules.
Right, right. Here again is this book that I keep flapping, the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures. And like, how do they not open it? Because I guess before classes of mail came along, it didn't matter because nobody else knew the rules either.
When I was checking up on the votes, they actually had the books in there.
Yeah, and they probably...
I guess they never opened it.
Yeah, the spines were still unbroken because they never got cracked open. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Dude. So, let me get to the other article in here. This one is from our branch president. He writes, on a side note... This is midway through the article. On a side note, we received a few complaints and concerns regarding various members slandering members of the union and branch officers, spreading misinformation, and being disingenuous.
Members? Or or himself?
Well, I mean, we know that the election chair who resigned, you know, that we know he complained about it because he filed charges against us for exactly that.
Oh, you mean like... basically strong-arming us saying we can't talk?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And again, where's the slander? What did we say that wasn't true? Mm-hmm. Aside from thinking that it was the election chair when the invoice would sure make it appear that it's the person who wrote this article.
We did ask him for that information.
That's exactly right. We have asked.
And he refused to give us that information.
That is exactly
right. So therefore, he got what we thought it was. It was him.
That is exactly right. Yep. Right. There's been so many opportunities to set the record straight, but when the record's damning, you're not interested in setting it straight.
And we straight up asked, even our branch president, hey, you know, we asked the election chair about this.
The improprieties.
Yeah. On the ballots. Do you know anything about it? And his answer was, I don't know anything about it. You need to ask the election chair. Right. That was the answer that we always got.
Yep.
Then he finally gets caught that he is the one who ordered the ballots. Oh, you know, now he's being all silent about it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay? And so he knew everything about it, yet he kept it quiet. And then he basically lied to the membership.
That's going to come up in just a second in this article. I ripped from the headlines. So he goes on. He says, brothers and sisters, please keep in mind, social media is nothing more than opinions, entertainment. And in my view, a way for people to behave badly with little or no accountability. Is that what's happening here, dear listener? Are we behaving badly? I don't think so.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that he's using the newsletter to say the things that he's saying?
Yeah.
With his integrity and all that stuff.
Well,
we can't say the same thing?
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, of course. Now, he doesn't call us out by name.
Well, we didn't either.
That's exactly right. Uh-huh. Apparently, that's a good defense. If you don't call somebody out by name, how could you be slandering them?
Right.
And in our charges on that episode, we never said the name.
We said redacted.
Yeah, we called him redacted. Mm-hmm. Dude, it is something. Yeah. So he goes on. He writes about the TurkNet leadership character model. Leadership is about character. Character is grounded in integrity. Leaders must be honest, credible, and trustworthy. A person with integrity doesn't twist facts for personal advantage.
Wow.
Dude, it is fucking galling to read that. To read.
Is he actually talking about himself?
Yeah, of course.
Because we're the one who found out that he's the one who lied to the membership. Okay, because we kept asking about what happened with the election chair.
He had every chance to be honest.
And why ordering the ballots was all done wrong.
Right.
And he just kept saying, oh, it's election chair's fault. Election chair's fault. He kept saying that himself.
Yeah, or not saying anything.
So that we finally had to charge the election chair because he refused to give us information. Right. Once the charge was done, and then we find out the invoice that says his name on it.
Right, the president's name
on it. Oh, now it's all of a sudden,
Right. Dude, and at the meetings...
He's still the innocent one.
Yeah, when people are asking questions at the meetings, since this information's come out, it's going to have to be looked into. Dude, he could set the record straight. And I'd like to think that somebody who is grounded in integrity, who's honest, credible, and trustworthy, would be anxious to set the record straight.
Well, you know, that includes our secretary, because he knows everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps lying for him.
I don't know... Maybe.
I believe he's lying for him because he...
Well, he's certainly covering for him.
Definitely covering for him because, I mean, somebody had to know that he was ordering it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, somebody had to. I know the election chair definitely knew. who, by the way, resigned
right
when we charged him to show up on the general meeting.
Right.
And then they had to pick somebody else a week before.
Yeah.
Because he resigned because he knew that we were charging him.
Right. So let me go on with the article. Yeah. He also writes, some say these acts that referring to this mm-hmm. podcast, mm-hmm. basically. Some say these acts are harming our union organization as they are a cancer destroying from within, attempting to manufacture outrage, fuel a reaction, and hustle dissent. Leadership is about positivity, building the union, not destroying it from within.
How about the positivity in the fact that if you follow the whole procedure correctly and none of this things would happen and everything would be positive?
Yeah, this is again the good old boys telling us to shut up,
mm-hmm.
to don't point out these problems. And dude, I went to this guy first with these problems.
Mm-hmm.
When we started noticing problems with the election, we went to him.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Before we didn't think these things were all this big bunch of a problem. Because at first we just thought that, hey, why aren't you ordering these ballots and sending it out as pre-sourced standard? You know,
right.
We just didn't understand. Why would you do that?
Yeah, we thought it was just a...
So we thought it was just a misdoing it. It's like,
right, like there was an error that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, can you just fix that? And then so then something else comes up
mm-hmm.
where the pre-sourced standard was the branch president sent out the flyers with the same pre-sourced standard number.
Dude, I still think there's nothing to that.
No, I'm saying there is nothing.
Okay.
But I'm like, that looks conspicuous.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
okay, to more questions.
Let's go and ask more questions. Then something else comes up, and then something else comes up. Then we find out the invoice, and we're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, now we see.
Yeah.
Dude, and I know I've talked about it on, mm-hmm. I'm going to stop saying that I talked about it on here before, because I talk about all kinds of stuff. But when the branch secretary is telling me that like we shouldn't file these charges, and I'm like, dude, we're trying to get answers here, and we're getting stonewalled. And he says, well, there's a time and a place to answer questions honestly. And I said back to him, yeah, the first time the question is asked, that's when it should be answered honestly. And that's what we're up against here.
So the biggest...
They want us to just shut the fuck up.
So then as we were trying to get more information, I talked to the new election chair because the previous election chair quit before he got charged. And so I asked the new election chair after the election, saying, hey, man, when you took out the all the ballots out of the P.O. box, where did you store them?
Oh, let's... Oh,
it's in the president's office.
Dude.
Okay, that's more things going wrong.
That's
you
so
you can't
wild.
Have the ballots in the same place as somebody who's running.
You know, I bet you there's something in this book
mm-hmm.
about that very thing. In fact, mm-hmm. I know that there is. I'm going to go ahead and read it to you really quick because, dude, it is... okay. About keeping the ballots safe. It's recommended... here we go. Don't take the ballot box home with you for safekeeping. Don't tape it up and stick it in an unlocked file cabinet or a file cabinet to which members or staff people have keys.
I'm sorry. I think that our branch president has keys
to his
everything.
Own file cabinet? Yeah.
Yeah, to everything. That's his thing. You have to make sure that he has keys to everything, including all the backups, just in case.
Right. And they also take for granted in these election rules that the ballot box is going to be sealed with like tamper-evident tape.
Mm-hmm.
When you asked about the process for sealing the ballot box, what were you told?
They never did it.
Yeah. So we have all these ballots in an unsecure box in a place where candidates... He's probably not the only candidate that has access to it. And we have a big surplus of extra ballots, blank ballots.
That he ordered.
Yeah, that one of the candidates ordered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, imagine that. Like, just to look at that part of it, that one of the candidates who had access to the ballot box ordered a whole bunch of extra blank ballots. And then when the audit was done after the election by our treasurer and she counted up the ballots, a bunch of the extras unaccounted for.
Right. Over 200 ballots were missing.
Dude. Now, we can't prove that.
Well, yeah, we can't see somebody going into cookie jar and getting it out on a camera because we don't have access to that camera. Okay, he does.
Right. But if you were going to do that, right, that's the way you would do it. Mm-hmm. And the response from the good old boys. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
And so...
And that's all up to the state president.
Yeah. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So The last line in here that I got to read to you from our branch president is, quote, "I assure everyone the branch leadership has character and integrity."
What character integrity is there when you're messing with the election?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the rules are for, is to prevent things like this from happening. And when the branch doesn't follow its own rules, is that what we're supposed to do? Just shut the fuck up about it? You know, obviously, the internal process should get these things fixed. But when the people you go to...
It should take it up and then grin about it, right? Is that what they want us to do?
Take it up your ass and smile about it?
I was trying to be nice.
That's all right. That's all right. We're edgy here. It's okay. Yeah, dude, apparently.
Apparently that's what they want us to do. Yeah.
Yep.
Dude. But we're stewards, right?
Yeah.
We don't buy down to that.
So the accusation in here, in both of those articles, is that we're dividing our union, that we're just like stirring the pot. Now, I will grant, we're stirring the pot. There's no question about that.
And that is where, like I said earlier, they're about to wake up the giant, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know what we are? We're agitators. I got this from Leslie. She told me we're agitators, and the agitator in the washing machine is what's necessary to get things clean. And that's what we're trying to do here. And so from my view, we're not dividing the union. We're trying to clean the union. We're trying to get the union to abide by its own rules. We're not the bad guys here. Obviously nobody's the bad guy in their own story, right? I get that about humanity. But dude, I'm not just coming up with crazy stuff and saying, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. I'm reading the goddamn bylaws and saying we should do these things.
So, our new election chair and election committee, they decided to redo the whole election, right? Because they found that it was done wrong.
Yeah.
And then our president filed an appeal. So he went to the e-board, the executive board.
Yep.
Which he is majority of part of. Yet his own e-board have decided to redo the election.
Yeah, everybody seems to agree that the election has to be redone.
That they need to redo the election. So that obviously shows the election was done wrong. So obviously we were right about that. So what are we doing? How are we dividing the membership? Dude. How are we doing all that when we didn't cause this problem?
Yeah, exactly.
We only saw the problem and we brought it out.
Right. And again, we brought it to the people who could fix it first, and they weren't interested. In fact, they didn't even want to talk about it. Yeah. They, in fairness to them, they followed the advice of shut the fuck up.
Right.
So one more thing from the president's article in this month's newsletter. He writes, quote, "A few members objected to the election, so we are currently in the appeals procedure." Dude, I dare you to find somebody who doesn't object to this election. Every appeal asked for the... Nobody filed an appeal that said, oh, I think we should keep the election as is. Everybody can see that it was tainted, that it was done wrong. And so for him to write this, to undermine or to minimize, is what I should say, the rightful outrage that people have over the way this is conducted, a few members objected to the election. Dude. A few members filed a formal appeal.
So there's a charge that we did against our election chair.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
That was done by me and I don't know what, 57 others that
something
signed
like that.
For it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if the 57 others are few members, so be it, because they all agree to file a charge against our election chairs because they felt that our election was done wrong.
Yeah. If they knew that some of this stuff appears to have been done by the president, a candidate, I wonder if they would still feel that it was wrong.
And they still don't realize that the carriers that was on that list was not just from my station. It wasn't just from your station. No. It was from multiple stations.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, geographically spread around the valley. Yes. Yeah.
Dude.
All right, so I think that's the answer to the question of, are we dividing the union? No, we're trying to fix things. And that means when you wash, you got to scrub. You got to agitate. And that's what's happening here. So what else do I have on this list? So another issue that I think that I want to address on a personal level is that we're just complainers. And I'm going to push back on that idea too, because when we ran in the first version of this election, we were the only candidates who actually put out a platform and had ideas for how we want to fix the branch. And we put those things in writing, and we made a podcast episode about it, which incidentally is one of our most downloaded podcasts of all time. And, you know, so it's not just complaining if you're offering solutions. I don't hear solutions coming from the leadership at the Hall right now.
Nobody else has a platform except us.
Yeah, we're the only ones
with a platform. And how to fix our branch.
Right, we're the only ones offering solutions. We're the only ones actually trying to put forth progressive ideas to fix things in this branch. And when I was a fantasy football commissioner, this is back in the day when you had to do all this stuff by hand. And did you play way back then in those days?
Yes.
Yeah, we had to like get the sports section and yeah. So you'd have
Sporting
to do all
the... was a big thing.
Oh yeah, dude, yes. For sure. So anyway, so in my league, the commissioner would always be in the championship game because they had access to all the best information, especially because we had an active league that had trades that you could do, pick up free agents, stuff like that. And so the commissioner knew everything. And so the commissioner would always win. And then I came in and became the commissioner. And one of the first things I did was institute a bunch of rules that even the playing field, that any information I had, everybody else had access to the same information. Any deadlines there were, everybody had access to the same deadlines. And I was the only commissioner who didn't win a championship. And that's honestly something I'm proud of. And that's the difference that I see between the good old boys who are in there now and who are just doing everything they can to A, avoid answering all these questions, and B, keep themselves from having to put mail in the box again, you know, instead of doing what's best for the branch and what's fair and abiding by the rules and all that stuff. It all the way from the beginning, the rules have been available to everyone. They could have just... Alan's giving us a hard time about these bylaws. Maybe we should look at them. They never did it.
They still don't. It seems like they don't.
Yeah, they still don't. Dude, every time I get a call from the branch secretary and he tells me some other crazy thing, and I'm like, dude, that's not what it says in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. At some point, you'd like to think that he would read it first before calling me, but he ain't about that life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so sort of like he's trying to delay the charges.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the election chair.
Right. The episode that I have written, but yeah. I haven't recorded yet.
Yeah. So like something like that, too, where he's trying to delay it for another month.
Right. Anything to avoid answering the questions.
But without the committee that's doing the investigation, without their say, and they had to bring it to the membership to vote on it.
Right, if you're going to delay the charges.
And that wasn't done either.
Yeah,
so
it's got to be done by the branch. And he just made the unilateral decision. Because isn't that the branch secretary's role? To just make the unilateral decision and delay the investigation?
He's supposed to get the whole process done more smoothly.
Dude, but not the secretary. But the secretary has no involvement.
But not to make rules on his own.
The president should be directing the investigation and making sure people know what they're supposed to do. Mm.
You mean he doesn't know what he's doing as a
president? Well, I don't know.
I think he's not there just to do grievances.
Dude, I think he does know what he's doing in the sense that
he's not supposed to be there just to do formal aid. There's other jobs that he has to do.
Yeah. Well,
that's also making sure all offices run their job correctly.
Yeah. Right. The general
secretary is going amok, then he's not doing his job.
Right. Right. And of course, I brought the secretary's overstep to the attention of the branch president, and he didn't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Even though that's not what it says in Article 10. And but to the statement of he doesn't know what he's doing, dude, what he's doing is stonewalling. Mm-hmm. What they continue to do is doing everything they can to avoid answering these questions. And that's this pattern that we're seeing continually. And dude, and what happens tomorrow at our meeting? The good old boys completely take over the branch.
Yeah. To cover their steps of how they've been messing with the election.
Right. That's the problem. Is now when we need evidence, we have to go to the people who were responsible for it. Hmm. And you think they're going to be good about handing over evidence to this new committee? Dude, I can't even get a copy of the bylaws. I can't even get the basic information. I put in a request a month ago for information from our branch president. Can't even get that.
So here's what I say And this is where our podcast is excellent, is because they're going
to agree with that.
Try to keep us quiet on the misdoing things that they're doing.
Right.
And as long as we keep finding this out, we will bring it out and tell everybody what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Until they finally decide that they're going to start following the bylaws or step down or get removed.
Yeah, this is something that we will not stop because doing the right thing is what needs to be done. And they're not doing the right thing.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. And we're not just complaining.
But Michael,
we just want things to be done right.
Michael, that's the way we've always done it.
Oh, well, maybe it's time for change.
Maybe it is.
Oh, you know what's funny about that?
What's that? And then we got to wrap it up after that.
Is that back in the day when Jerry Penn ran for the first time, you know what his motto was?
What's that?
Time for change.
That's great. And he was right. Yeah.
Good times. Well, he wasn't right. That was John Power that was running before that.
Dude, this is all way before my time.
And John Power was all about making sure that the harassment doesn't get through.
Dude, you've been in the post office way less time than me. How do you know all this stuff?
Because I ask questions.
Yeah?
I asked questions. I talked to everybody as much as I can. And because I talked to a lot of senior carriers to get information. You know why? Because they know more than I do.
Yeah. What's going on. Look at that.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so I respect all the senior carriers. And I try to get as much information from it because more you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
More things you can do.
Yep. All right, guys, that's going to do us for today. So we are obviously going to report back after the next meeting and let you know how all that went. It is definitely going to be an interesting one.
It could be different parts again.
I know. I was just thinking that. Hopefully it's not another three-parter, but you never know. So that's all I got for now, guys. Thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you next.